The Chorus Radio Network.
Man-made global warming is no longer just a theory about climate. It is the defining moral and political cause of our age.
Can you imagine that we live in an age of reason? And the global warming alarm is dressed up as science, but it's not science. It's propaganda.
There's no direct evidence which links 20th century global warming to anthropogenic greenhouse gases.
We're just being told lies. That's what it comes down to.
You can't say that CO2 will drive climate. It certainly never did in the past.
If the CO2 increases in the atmosphere as a greenhouse gas, then the temperature will go up. But the ice core record shows exactly the opposite. So the fundamental assumption, the most fundamental assumption of the whole theory of climate change due to humans is shown to be wrong.
The whole thing stinks.
All right, tens of thousands of you have been logging on to the website, mine and a whole bunch of others, to link to the Great Global Warming Swindle, a documentary that ran against the herd of orthodoxy that is led right now in the climate change movement by the people like Al Gore, like David Suzuki, and like many others. When you run against the herd, you run into a lot of controversy, and Martin Durkin is not going to shy away from it. He is the man who created this documentary. He joins us from the UK. Martin Durkin, welcome to the program.
Hello, Charles. How are you?
Before we talk about some of what has been thrown, some of the mud that has been thrown at your documentary, I just want to sort of sit back and let you take the floor for a little while. Tell us a little bit about yourself. We want to know that the man behind this documentary has a keen interest in science and what have you. We want to know that this is more than just a person saying, you know what, I'm going to go the other way because that's where the entertainment is.
Yeah. Well, I've been making science documentaries for many years, for the most part, far more boring than this one. Something I find myself projected slightly into the limelight just because of the nature of the documentary. I made one that happened to stray into these waters about 10 years ago, and so that's when I became familiar with the subject area. Because the science program-making community is a very odd one. Worldwide, we sort of meet every year and we sort of chat about things. And about a year ago, we had one of these meetings in Tokyo and we say, why hasn't the countercase been put? Because there is very good science that suggests that, you know, the idea of CO2-led global warming isn't true. We hadn't shoved it together in one big science documentary since. There was one made about 12 years ago, I think, by Channel 4. And the running since then had been very much one way. And so Channel 4, in fact, asked me, because they know that I'd done stuff in this general area, to make the film. And then, of course, it was like standing on a landmine.
As you know, one of the individuals that you interviewed, one of the scientists, and his letter to you, his letter to Channel 4 is now all over the internet. I'm talking about Carl Wunsch. He says, I'm writing, this is the letter, it's just a piece of the letter that he's written to Channel 4. I'm writing to record what I told you on the phone about your film, Global Warming Swindle. Fundamentally, I am one who was swindled. Please read the email below. I'm not going to read everything here, except to say that just to kind of wrap it up, to give you a précis of what he said and to give the audience the same. He said that this global warming business, climate change, is very complex. And so what he was saying, he gave an elaborate interview, as people always do, and only chunks of what he said were put into the documentary to advocate a certain perspective. And so he says that he's embarrassed that happened to him, and he feels wronged.
Well, it's really unfortunate what's happened with Professor Wunsch, but the reason that we went to interview him in the first place is that he was in print criticizing vehemently the global warming alarm and saying, because there was a scare, I don't know if you remember, that the ocean conveyor would shut down and all sorts of stuff like that. And that's the reason that we went to him. And it's perfectly evident from the correspondence that we had with Professor Wunsch that he knew exactly what the nature of the program was going to be. And in terms of the material that we have from him in the program, it perfectly reflects what he says, firstly. And secondly, what he says is not radical. It can be found in any textbook on oceanography. It's not at all, you know, out of the ordinary what he said. It would be unfair to Professor Wunsch to go into, you know, my analysis of his motives for distancing himself from the documentary now. But all I would say as a general rule is that scientists who stick their head above the parapet and say things that, you know, against the grain, if you like, with global warming theory, often find themselves under really, really very considerable vehement attack.
Let me just give you a couple of lines here, Martin, and then you can hit this one out of the park if you choose to. An example where my own discussion, this is Wunsch talking to your people recording him, as an example where my own discussion, and he's an oceanography professor, ladies and gentlemen, as an example where my own discussion was grossly distorted by context, I am shown on the film explaining that a warming ocean could expel more carbon dioxide than it absorbs, thus exacerbating the greenhouse buildup in the atmosphere. Now, folks, for those of you who saw the movie, this is where Martin and his crew make the point that much of global warming or much of climate change, much of the warming can come, much of the CO2 can come from the ocean itself, because two-thirds of the planet is covered by water. Yeah. And so Wunsch points out that all of this stuff coming out of the water can exacerbate, can make worse the greenhouse gas buildup in the atmosphere, and hence is worrisome. It was used in the film through its context to imply that CO2 is all natural, coming from the ocean, therefore the human element is irrelevant. So I don't think this part is too complex, Martin, but what he's saying is that he got the impression from reading the script.
I take that. That's just not true. We asked Professor Wunsch precisely about the Vostok ice core, the ice core surveys, and the ice, because the problem is when in the ice core surveys, when temperature goes up, there is a lag of 500 to 1,000 years, hundreds of years, and then CO2 levels, atmospheric levels, will go up, then temperature will go down, and then after a lag of a few hundred years, CO2 levels go down. Now, the reason for this, we know, and Professor Wunsch knows, and which is why I asked him, and which is why he told us, was that when you warm up the oceans, they emit carbon dioxide. The oceans are the biggest well of carbon dioxide on the Earth. And when you warm them up, they produce more carbon dioxide, and when you cool them down, they absorb more carbon dioxide. But the oceans are very, very big, very, very deep, and so it takes hundreds of years to warm them up, and it takes hundreds of years for them to cool down. And so to explain the ice core surveys, and no one disputes the ice core surveys at all, even supporters of global warming theory concede that temperature leads CO2, not the other way around. To explain why that lag happens, you have to refer to the oceans. That's what we asked Professor Wunsch. That's what he told us. He says in his letters, oh, we're inferring that all CO2 is natural. That's not true at all. We did say to remind people that CO2 is natural. I mean, CO2 is obviously, you know...
Yes, we're breathing, so we're emitting CO2.
World. Yeah. Certainly we do not say, as Professor Wunsch seemed to want to apply, we said, which we most certainly don't, is that industry also produces CO2. I mean, the reason why we've had a rise in CO2 over the past century is obviously, I mean, that's been caused by industry. The question is not, is there more CO2 in the atmosphere? The question is, is it driving the temperature? And in terms of Professor Wunsch's contribution in terms of CO2 in the oceans, it's quite clear, and Professor Wunsch went to great pains to tell us again and again, that people see things happening this year in the oceans, but it doesn't mean that that has been caused by a recent warming or cooling, necessarily, because the oceans have a huge, long memory lag, a huge memory of past temperature events, because it takes so long to cool them up cool them down and warm them up.
Well, Wunsch told us the same thing that he told you a couple of months ago, so I'll concur with what you've said. But as he points out, he gets the impression from looking at the documentary that only some of his remarks were taken, and the implication, this is not something that would hold up in a court of law in my opinion, but the implication was that Wunsch doesn't think that anything other than what is natural, CO2, therefore he does not take seriously the idea that industry has also caused a lot of CO2, a lot of what the global warming people now call carbon footprinting. And I'm not saying...
Well, industry does produce CO2.
Yes.
You're absolutely right. And we had graphs in the program that said that industry produces...
But he's saying essentially, sir, that was played down in order to advocate against the current climate alarmists, shall we say. That's the point.
Well, certainly, I mean, you know, the industry does produce CO2, but the question is not whether industry produces CO2, because we had, you know, the nice line produced again and again of CO2 going up. The question is, does that make the temperature change? Humans make a lot of difference in all sorts of ways, one of which is carbon dioxide, but not by any means the only way. We produce SO2 and all sorts of other stuff as well. The question is, do those control the temperature? The point is that CO2 is a minor greenhouse gas. The main greenhouse gas by far is water vapor. Now, but are greenhouse gases at all causing the temperature to change? The only way people have suggested really of telling whether greenhouse gas warming is occurring is to look higher in the atmosphere at the level called the troposphere. And according to classic global warming theory, if the troposphere is warming at a higher rate than the surface, then the greenhouse, you can say that it's possible that greenhouse gases are warming the Earth. But all of the data that we have from weather balloons and satellites suggest the opposite.
I want to give you another chance to knock out something that is in the Independent, a newspaper that you know well, generally a newspaper that is to the left of center. The Telegraph has endorsed what you've done. The Telegraph is generally to the right of center for people in this country who don't know the difference between the theories and the advocacies of the Telegraph as opposed to the Independent. So the Independent,
Conrad Black, right.
The Conrad Black used to run it. All right. So the left of center Independent, the one that's very much against what is being said in the Telegraph. And what's being said in your movie, writes, and I'm quoting, "The great global warming swindle was based on graphs that were distorted, mislabeled, or just plain wrong. The graphs were nevertheless used to attack the credibility and honesty of climate scientists, a graph central to the program's thesis purporting to show variations in global temperatures over the past century claimed to show that global warming was not linked with industrial emissions of carbon dioxide, yet the graph was not what it seemed. Other graphs used out-of-date information or data that was shown some years ago to be wrong, yet the program makers, meaning you, Martin Durkin, claimed the graphs demonstrated that orthodox climate science was a conspiratorial lie foisted on the public." I want to give you a chance to respond to this.
I'll try and remember the graphs that we were talking about. We were told off for using a graph of the temperature record of the last 1,000 years, which was produced in the first IPCC report, which clearly shows a medieval warm period, which is quite warm, and followed by the Little Ice Age, which climatologists call the medieval warm period, which coincided at the time, for example, when the Vikings colonized Greenland and called it Greenland, because then, you know, it was they were able to farm it. And the Little Ice Age, which is, again, documented very well historically, you know, from where the time from which we have all those nice Bruegel paintings of everything covered in ice. This was a classic sort of, the respected temperature record of the 1,000 years that was used in the IPCC and we used. It was subsequently supplanted by something which the Independent described as a more up-to-date graph. This more up-to-date graph is the so-called hockey stick, which I don't know if you've heard about, but it's called the hockey stick because it looks like a hockey stick, and it makes the temperature record of the last 1,000 years look like a very straight line, and then coming up in the 20th century, which obviously looks more alarming. This became, you know, very well publicized by people who support the theory of global warming.
Martin Durkin, let me give you a chance to finish your response in just a few moments. We've got to take a brief break here and be right back. Martin Durkin, ladies and gentlemen, is the creator of the documentary known as The Great Global Warming Swindle, which so many of you are crazy about and have asked for links for. If you want a link to it, just get on to charlesadler.com, log on to charlesadler.com and click on Adler on the Edge for the swindle. Martin Durkin in the UK, back in a moment.
We are told that the Earth's climate is changing. But the Earth's climate is always changing. In Earth's long history, there have been countless periods when it was much warmer and much cooler than it is today, when much of the world was covered by tropical forests or else vast ice sheets. The climate has always changed, and changed without any help from us humans.
All right, Martin Durkin, we've only got a few minutes left, and I fully plan to bring you back on a different day, either tomorrow or the next day, but at some point, because there's so much more to discuss. Now, I know that you wanted to say some things about the Al Gore movie, which is now being shown in science class in both the UK and my country.
I'll try and quickly finish the hockey stick point. The hockey stick graph, which the Independent says, oh, I should have used, two very, very good Canadian researchers, McIntyre and McKittrick, took the computer algorithm that was used to produce the hockey stick graph, and they fed in random data, I'm sure you must know this story anyway, and produced lots of hockey sticks, and found that the computer program would naturally produce hockey sticks. And the data on which that was based, the bristlecone pines, it was known was corrupted data, in the sense that bristlecone pines tend to grow when there's more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere rather than when it's warmer. So you tend to get from that, as a proxy data, a reflection of CO2 rather than temperature. So anyway, this is duff data. And yet, these sorts of graphs are paraded as the right ones, as opposed to the wrong ones. But I'd just like to say, I don't mind that, and it's quite right that, you know, any science documentary should be subjected to critical scrutiny, and mine has, I mean, you know, a legion of environmental correspondents and scientists are sort of trying to pick holes in it. But where were they when Al Gore's film came out? I mean, there are just enormous, you know, discrepancies. I don't want to libel
him. Pick one or two cherries on the Al Gore thing.
Sorry?
If you want a cherry, pick one or two cherries.
Okay.
Discrepancies in the Al Gore thing.
Al Gore says, oh, has CO2 anything to do with temperature? Just look at this. And he has the ice core data. And he says, look at these two lines. I mean, of course they're to do with each other. CO2 and temperature go together. What he doesn't say is that the causation is the wrong way round. The temperature goes up, then CO2 goes up. Temperature goes down, then CO2 goes down. It does not show that CO2 is driving temperature. It shows that temperature is driving CO2. But, you know, that goes without saying. And no one criticizes
it. All right, he puts the cart before the horse. What else? Give me another cherry.
Okay, he says Nairobi. The problem is that, you know, as the world gets warmer, you know, we will have more malaria. These tropical diseases which will spread north. The worst malaria epidemic we know of was in the 1920s in the Soviet Union and stretched all the way up to the Archangel. It's not true that malaria-carrying mosquitoes are killed by a little bit of cold. There are lots of mosquitoes in the Arctic, but we don't hear about that. He says that Nairobi was built where it was founded because it was free of malaria, because it was sort of slightly up. That's absolute hogwash. It was riddled with malaria when it was founded. It was founded where it was founded because the British were about to build a railway line down into the Rift Valley, and that was the last stop before they started.
All right, will you return? I've got to run here. Will you return to dry the hogs, as it were?
Will I do what, sorry?
To dry the hogs. There's also lots of hogwash, you're saying. I want to give you a chance to dry the hogs again.
Oh, the hogwash. I need new, improved something to clean the hogwash.
All right. Martin Durkin is the creator of the great global warming swindle. We spoke to him in the UK.
This is Adler Online with Charles Adler on the Chorus Radio Network.